Here at Daleville Christian Church, we believe it is important that you know what you believe and be able to state what it is that you believe. So each worship service, we have an affirmation of our faith taken from, directly from, God's Word, the Bible. And so this one from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. God, our Savior, wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. God's word for today is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through 39, which takes us to the end of that chapter 10. Where the apostle writes, "Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. We don't know a lot about this letter called Hebrews. Certainly, we don't know a lot about this letter in comparison to many other books of the Bible. In other books, we have a writer's name, and in many cases, we know the writer's audience. We know the people the author was writing to, the people he was writing for. You know, it says, Paul to the church in Thessalonica. So we have the Thessalonian letters, 1 and 2. In Hebrews, we are not really certain who composed the letter, and the group or the city or area the letter has intended as its recipient. We don't know that either. However, here is something we want to notice. Whoever the writer is writing to, those people getting the letter are Christians who have suffered. These Christians have suffered persecution. Although the word suffered appears in the book of Hebrews more than any other book in the Bible, almost all the references for the word suffered refer to Jesus. The author points to Jesus' suffering for a reason. The author points to Jesus' suffering because the people he is writing to have also suffered. The author points to Jesus' suffering as a contact point for your suffering. The messenger Jesus suffered. He suffered for the message he brought, that Jesus was the Messiah and had come to save his people from their sins. Jesus' people, the church, have suffered for the very same reasons. Hebrews 10:32, "Remember those earlier days after you'd received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering." And two verses later, the author says, "You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions." So if you have been bullied or persecuted or feel persecuted, you can feel at home with these early followers of Jesus, and you can feel at home with Jesus. Some of you have not had the same experiences as these early Christians. You may not have suffered bullying or persecution. However, you have suffered. Most of us have suffered grief or loss. So did those early faithful Christians. We suffer sadness, we suffer sickness, we suffer death, we suffer in relationships, we sometimes suffer our own decisions that we made. We might suffer still the result of old decisions that we made. we might this morning be suffering some decisions we made last evening. The Bible mentions here in Hebrews, sympathizing with and suffering along with those who are in prison. We often forget that those in prison, mentioned in the Bible, are usually believers, followers of Jesus, not criminals as we usually think of criminals. The believers are in prison for no more reason than trying to be a good follower of Jesus. Therefore, we have sympathy for all prisoners because once our people were in prison. We were just celebrating 2 weeks ago, Memorial Day, that we don't live in a country where we can be tossed into jail or prison for trying to follow Jesus. We in America might suffer more for turning the other cheek or for not repaying evil for evil. Or we might suffer, or we feel that we suffer when we forgive someone because we might rather have visited vengeance on those who wrong us. The writer of Hebrews gives us encouragement. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. It is best if we focus on verse 36. You need to persevere. You need to persevere. This perseverance, is this just a random thing God demands? Is this perseverance just another way to make our lives difficult? No. The Bible says why the perseverance is necessary, so that when you have done God's will, you will receive what He promised. Maybe I should do a sermon series on the promises of God. By one count, there are 5,467 promises of God in the Bible. Someone else said 3,573. So if I take one promise to preach on for each Sunday in a sermon series on God's promises, I would be just finishing that preaching series somewhere between 68 and 105 years from now, which would make me somewhere between 130 and 165 years old. Who here is up for that? Should we make the vote a simple majority or two-thirds? Who's going to promise to be here when the series ends? But I will not be preaching on God's promises today. We don't have the time. But I guarantee you, they are in there, in God's Word, the Bible. But we do focus on the fact that you will receive what God promised by persevering. By the way, I haven't double-checked, but salvation isn't one of the promises. Salvation isn't one of the promises because if you claim Christ, you are saved right now. Salvation isn't a future thing. It's a right now thing. If you aren't saved right now, you can be. Claim Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That part is simple. Living your call in Christ will eventually require perseverance. Claiming Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that part is simple. Done in a moment and your salvation is there. Living your call in Christ will eventually require perseverance. And with perseverance comes receiving the promises. Now, there's a very good example in marriage. The Bible believes that marriage is a very good thing. Marriage is God's institution. Like they say, marriages are made in heaven, and so are thunder and lightning, which is why I even bring up the topic of marriage. New research proves today's Bible verse with regard to marriage. Couples who marry and stay married, all of them say that marriage was the best thing in their lives. 700 elderly couples were interviewed for the book 30 Lessons for Loving. Every one of those 1,400 people said marriage was the best thing in their lives. Notice that they did not interview young couples. And that is the point. The elderly couples endured. The elderly couples persevered in marriage. Here's something else the elderly couple said. marriage is hard. Or they said marriage is hard, or they said marriage is really, really hard. You don't have to amen that. But all those elderly couples remained married. Now these couples received the blessing of a blessed marriage. There are beneficial health effects in being married and staying married. Happily married people are less likely to have strokes, less likely to have heart disease, less likely to suffer depression, and happily married people respond better to stress, and happily married people heal more quickly. And if you're worried about that happily married part, one study even found that a bad marriage was better for men with diabetes than not being married at all. Hey, this is science, my friends. I try to tell the young men who come with their fiancé for pre-marriage counseling, my friend, you are making a wise decision. Married men live longer. In fact, married men and men who have at least been married, so include widowers and divorced men, they all live longer than single men. It's a statistical fact. Marriage is good for you, young man. Try never to forget that. Try never to forget that. And now comes the study of the 700 elderly couples. Marriage is the best. Marriage is the best if you can persevere. If you can persevere. The article I read went on to talk about how to marry well and how to avoid splitting up. I was pleased to read that the author of the article in a secular magazine chose Gary Chapman, Christian author and marriage therapist, as one of America's most successful marriage therapists, and lifted up his book, The Five Love Languages, which book Deb and I like to give away to young couples. It's that good. And it's Christian. Friends, what is true of marriage, scientifically demonstrated, is true of your life in Christ. What the Bible says is true. Imagine that. What the Bible says is true. You may have all the promises of your God, but you will want to persevere to receive them. Now, I just noticed the words there, and I'm big on noticing details of words, and almost all the translations and versions say that, so that you will receive what he has promised. You see, God is going to give you all the promises, but will you receive them? The promises are yours. Will you receive them? I've always remembered something I read about receiving from the Lord. If our hands are full, how can we receive anything from the Lord? If you're two hands have full plates on them. What more could you receive? What anything of anything could you receive from our Lord if your hands are full and heavy laden? Friends, there's a lot of food in this world, and you can eat a lot of that same food and not be satisfied. You can make your mouth happy, but your body might crave some nutrients. You need the food that satisfies the body. I read a long time ago, there is such a thing called rabbit starvation. If you're lost and alone in the wilderness and without food, you can find and catch all the rabbits you want, but unless you get help, you will starve to death. There isn't enough fat on the rabbit to sustain you. Are your hands full? Are you full from eating rabbit? You'll starve. Are your hands too full to receive from the Lord? Is your stomach full but your body unsatisfied? It's time to find the food that satisfies. It's up to you to receive what the Lord is giving. So now I share with you the pastor's lament. All the promises of God available to those who follow Jesus. I've talked all this spring about prayer and meditation, about Bible reading, about healing and the power of the Holy Spirit. But people pass by the church every day, wishing and hoping to find something that will help them with their problems. They pass by the church and never come in. They never enter into this church or any church. The true God, who through Christ is prepared to deliver all his thousands of promises, and they won't come to our Lord Jesus. Or if they do, they don't persevere. People give up their confidence in God. People give up their confidence in faith. People give up their confidence in Jesus. It's heartbreaking to your pastor. Here is the congregation of the Hebrews. They've suffered, jail, lost their homes, their possessions. One author of this letter in the Bible says, persevere. Sometimes people think that God is going to fix things for them. I covered that in a previous sermon. The word fix is not in the Bible. Sorry. God will transform. But God doesn't fix things. Some church people, not you of course, but some famous writers, church authors, and preachers will say, you need to have faith that God will deliver you from this or that, or that God will fix this or that. Have faith. Friends, these first Christians did not believe that God was going to deliver them, and God didn't fix their problem. They lost their homes and went to jail. But they didn't give up their faith, and their faith can't be taken from them, and they will receive all the promises of God. In the book of Acts, I point out that when the apostles are in prison and the angel of the Lord opens the prison doors, two things. The apostles are just as surprised as anyone else that the doors have been opened by the angel. The apostles didn't pray for an angel to open the prison doors. But then here's the kicker. The angel tells the apostles to go right back out and do the same thing that got them thrown in jail. The angel doesn't open the door and tell them to skip town or to avoid the local police. No, the angel says, go stand in the public marketplace and declare this new life. Basically, the angel said, quit hiding in this prison cell, get back out there and do your thing. Is it any coincidence that the writer of Hebrews makes running an image for the successful believer in chapter 12? I've preached on this more than you probably care to remember. Let us run the race with perseverance, the race marked out for us. There's that word again, perseverance. Exercise continues to teach me what the Bible is trying to teach me. I've told you that I have good numbers. Don't look at how I look, look at my numbers. Blood pressure has improved, cholesterol great, iron levels good, heart rate good. Friends, you and I know that those things didn't happen by going exercising one time. I'm out there four times a week. Or to say it more accurately, God makes me go out four times a week, because if it was up to me, I wouldn't do it. Friends, no one can have all the benefits of exercise by exercising one time. Friends, you can't receive all the benefits of marriage by being married one day. And you can't receive all the promises of God being a Christian one day. I mean, theoretically, we would love to say that the day you become a Christian, you receive all the promises of God, but I don't know how you'd pack all 5,000 promises into one day. The Bible says we have to persevere. Persevere in dark times, persevere in pain, persevere in difficulties, persevere in financial stress, persevere in grief times, persevere in rain and drought and cold, in season and out. Pray more. Pray differently, read the Bible more, be thankful more, be more forgiving, be more loving, persevere. Endurance isn't just for a moment. You know, God's word says that tears come in the night, but joy comes in the morning, Psalm 30, verse 5. But friends, sometimes we're living at the North Pole, and the nights are 6 months long. That's quite a night of weeping, isn't it? Waiting for the morning. So 6 months of nighttime, you have to focus on the light that you have the light of Jesus Christ. I don't think I have to tell you that, generally speaking, Americans have no patience, and computers have only made it worse. We're going faster on our highways than ever, but we have just as much road rage or more than we've ever had, and people get killed on the road because of it. We've got to get there faster. We've got to get there faster. And as a pastor, I would love to promise all of you instant relief, but those words are not in the Bible either. I checked on the word instant. The word is in the Bible 11 times. Two times it tells us of an instant healing. Two times. Nine times the Bible tells us about instant disaster. Instant disaster. Don't complain to me. It's in your Bible. But the word we do find in the Bible is persevere. And in the Bible we find the one who will help us persevere, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.